Good morning, Calvary. My name is Corrine Bauer, and I serve here on the worship team. My family and I have been coming to Calvary. We started over in the Boulder campus in 2010, and today I'm going to be reading from Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Screen. My name is Zach Thompson. I'm on staff here at Calvary Bible Church, and I so love this service that we have where kids are in with us. We have an opportunity that we get to all worship alongside one another. I think one of the greatest things that we can do to strengthen our households is to be worshiping next to each other, and we get an opportunity to do that today. It is as well a reminder that we don't have silos, that it's not as though kids are over there doing their thing, students show up on Wednesdays doing their things. Like, we're all worshiping the same Jesus, and we as a church get an opportunity to really see that visibly. But as well, it's a time that we get to offer a break to our kids ministry volunteers, that they go all year long investing in this next generation. And this is a Sunday that they get to have a reprieve. Last Sunday and this one, a little bit of a break as we jump into fall. So with all that said, that this service, it might feel a little bit different. There might be a little bit more noise than usual. Some people might be falling asleep. And so I just ask you, kids, if you could be kind to the adults while they're doing those things, I would be so appreciative of all of that. But we are in our last week in this series where we are looking at God's faithfulness over the last 135 years of Calvary Bible Church. And we've been looking at how God is overwhelming in his love, in his grace, in his mercy, in his guidance for us. And so we want to live in a way that he calls us to in response to all that he does for us. We talked last week about how God calls us to love him, and in response to that, we love others. We seek to be merciful. We seek to be kind towards other people, to seek their good. And I want to build on that just a little bit in our time together this morning, that while God calls us to love other people, and that is good in and of itself, that is what God calls us to do in and of itself, that what these good deeds that we do, this love that we show for other people, it has additional significance. And the reason for that is a phrase that we say around here on occasion, that good deeds provide opportunities for good news. Good deeds provide opportunities for good news. And that's exactly what Scripture tells us as well. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, it says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles, as Christians living in this world, anticipating what God is going to do in the new heavens and the new earth, he says, I urge you to abstain from the passions of the flesh, to not sin, which wages war against your soul, but keep your conduct among the Gentiles, those outside of the church, keep your conduct honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation, on the day that Jesus returns. So that they may see your good deeds and give glory to God because of it." See, as we're talking in all these different weeks about how do we be faithful in response to God, it's not as though they're different pockets. It's not as though the Christian life is fractured, that we love God over here, and then sometimes we'll get around to loving others, and maybe we help people to know God and follow him and share the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done. No, the Christian life is a cohesive whole that all works together. That when we see how God has been faithful and we want to live faithfully for him, we love God, which leads us to love others, which leads us to helping people to know God as well. It is a cohesive whole. That's because of the good news, because of what Jesus has done for us, that we are able to know God, to see how he's been faithful, to live in response to him. And it's because of the gospel that we have a passage like Matthew 28, which tells us to go and make disciples. Just to put that really simply so we understand what it means, to make disciples is to help other people follow Jesus. So because of the gospel, because of what Jesus has done for us, the good news of what he has done, we are able to follow God, and we are called to help other people follow God. That is the call to live faithfully as a Christian. And that's it's important for us to remember what the order of this is. It's important for us to remember that the significance is given to us of how this works out, that it's in response to all that God has done. It is in response to what he has done for us that we seek to live, that we seek to follow him in this way that he sets for us. See, when we say go and make disciples, it's not go and do this, be better at it, just work harder. No, like the Bible always does, it shows us the reason why we obey these things, why we live in this way God has called us to. And Matthew 28 is no exception to that. Look at verse 18. Before it even gives this command to follow him, we are shown the reason why we follow him. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, "And then Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" So we seek to live, we seek to follow Jesus in the way that he has for us because all authority has been given to him. And I think there's two parts to this authority. That Jesus, in and of himself, is by his nature, because of who he is worthy. That he alone is able and deserves this authority. That he alone is able to wield this authority because of who Jesus is as God. He is worthy. But the second part of that, because Jesus came to earth, he is worthy. That Matthew 28, these are the very last words of this entire gospel of Matthew where it's been telling story after story after story of Jesus' love for you, Jesus' care for the world, how we live, and this example that he gives to us. It shows us that he died this death that he did not deserve so that we might be saved. It tells story after story of what Jesus has done for us, showing that he is worthy of this authority. Because of who Jesus is, because of what he has done, all authority has been given to him. All authority has been given to him. So he was faithful in what he accomplished because of the good news, because of what Jesus has done for us, showing us how to live. See, I so appreciate that it gets to this idea. Before there's any commands in this passage, before there's any examples of, well, how do we do this? How do we make disciples? It shows us from the very beginning why we live this way. All authority has been given to Jesus. He's been faithful. He alone is worthy. He's been so good to us. He has loved us. So we seek to live as he calls us to live. Now, the passage does continue. It does show how we make disciples. In the very next verse, it gives this first way that we make disciples. In verse 19, it says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." And we can stop it right there. Go and make disciples. Sometimes we read this verse and we put an emphasis on the word go, as if we need to leave the place that we currently are, go to some place and make disciples there. Tell them the good news of what Jesus has done for us in that new place. And certainly there's some good to that. And we're so grateful for the people who leave behind what's comfortable to go to a place that's never heard the gospel before or has less people telling what the gospel is. And so I'm glad that Calvary has a resource like our local and global outreach booklets that we have. These were on our Connect and Serve tables couple weeks ago, and inside of it, it's just all of the partners that we have in this country and around the world who have left to go to a new place to bring the gospel there. And it's a great resource to be praying for them, to see what they're doing, and a reminder that this good news is going out to the end of the world. But what I think about this passage is that the emphasis is not go and make disciples, it is go and make disciples. The emphasis is on making disciples. This whole passage is about making disciples. What I think go is there for, it is showing us the first way that we do this, the first way that we make disciples. When it talks about going, I think it captures two kind of aspects here. One, it speaks of having a plan, that you don't go someplace accidentally. You don't just accidentally start going in a direction. No, it's intentional. It's seeking out with a plan to make disciples. But the other part of that is people. So when go is used here, it's talking about a plan and it's talked about people. That we go to where there are people to make disciples. That following Jesus, it isn't a part of us that's hidden, that's locked away, that we dust it out when we dust it off when we come to church on Sunday, but then we all right, Jesus, back in your cubby for the rest of the week when Monday comes. No, we wherever we go, wherever people are, we bring Jesus' presence and power with us. That we seek out these places that people are so that we can make disciples of them. The aspiration of every Christian looking to follow what Jesus says here is to be able to say, I want to be where the people are. What it's speaking of here is this need for going to wherever there are people to make disciples there. To go where there are people to make disciples there. It's not just a passage that's given for these 11 disciples who hear this initially. It's not just a passage of making disciples for those who are really extroverted, for those who have special giftings in evangelism or teaching. It's not for like the super holy people or those experts of Christianity, those who never have doubts, who perfectly follow Jesus. No, this call to go and make disciples is given to all who seek to follow Jesus. All who seek to follow him are called to make disciples. There is not a category in the Bible for a Christian who is not making disciples. And so the places that we might go, wherever there are people, the places that we might go to make disciples could be where we live. That parents, you are helping to raise your kids, making disciples out of them. And kids, you have a really important role of helping your parents to follow Jesus as well. You also have neighbors or those that you see on a regular basis just by nature of living near them or having daily routines by each other. The place you might go is where you work or go to school, that you have classmates and coworkers that you can help to follow Jesus as well. We could go to the places that we play, that you have people that you're on a team with or that you share interests with or you see at the dog park, whatever it may be. That so often when we see this word go, we might think of we must go to some new place. But oftentimes, what it should make us think of is that we have already been put in a place. There are people around us that we can help them to know who Jesus is and help them to follow him better. And so oftentimes, the way that this works out is it's not as though God just drops someone into our life. Who's asking all the right questions, just brilliant questions of how do I follow Jesus? How do I know him better? And there's times that God does it, that's a really sweet moment and we should cherish that. But so often this aspect of making disciples comes with those that we are in relationship with, those that we create relationship with, that we're talking with them about, that we can help them understand who Jesus is just by nature of being with one another. And so what this speaks to, when it says to go and make disciples, it means that we cannot retreat away from other people, that we cannot avoid relationships with non-Christians, because if we're doing those things, then we will be unable to obey what Jesus is calling us to do as we seek to live faithfully after him here. We'll talk in a little bit about how making disciples is more than just telling people about Jesus for the first time, that it's continuing with them, it's sticking with them throughout the entire discipling process, but it does still include telling people about Jesus for the first time. That's a part of this. Because as we go to make disciples wherever God has put us, wherever there are people around us in our life, we will meet people who've never heard the good news of what Jesus has done for them. And how can they believe that which they have not heard? And so here's my first bit of homework for us today, that it's because of the gospel that we are called to tell the gospel to those who are around us. And so I encourage you to try that today. Try it with someone who you know that's around you that knows the gospel as well, that you can help each other to understand what is it that Jesus has done for you, what is the good news about how he's brought life for you, what is the gospel? And some of us in this room might be scoffing at this, like, oh, this is so easy to do. And yet it's alarming. There's a staggering number of Christians who are unable to say, what is the gospel? What is the good news of what Jesus has done for you? And maybe you're in this room and you've done this a million times. That's great. So one more time should be really easy for you to do as well. Or maybe you've never done this before, and this is why we want to practice this. We want to be able to articulate what it is that Jesus has done. So find someone nearby that you trust that you can practice this with today. Lunch is a great time to have a conversation on this over lunch. We have a drive home for the families here. It could be a time that we use in the car to say, do you know what the gospel is? Can you share it? And like help each other be able to articulate what this is. Or grab someone and talk to them in the lobby after this to be able to practice what this looks like. See, we are called to go and make disciples, to bring the gospel wherever it is that God has put us. And so we want to be prepared with what we are bringing. We are called to make disciples. We are called to go. Second part of this is to go and make disciples, and then it says to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We got to celebrate a baptism last Sunday when we were out on the lawn of someone in our church, and we reminded each other of what baptism is there. Baptism is an entry point into being part of a church. It is someone saying, I believe in the gospel. I believe in what Jesus has done for me. I trust in what he has done. He has saved me, and so I want to live my life trying to follow him as best as I can. So what we seek to do as we are helping disciple people, we go to where they are, we bring the good news, but we also bring them into this new community of faith. We bring them into this new people of God. That may include baptizing them, but it speaks to this bigger idea that it's helping people, once they know what Jesus has done, to be brought into this new identity, this new community, this new people. And then the third part, go, baptize, and then teaching. It says specifically teaching them to obey all that Jesus has commanded. But as we're helping make disciples of other people, this is also helping tell each other the truth of what Jesus has done, holding each other accountable to that truth, modeling what a transformed life in Jesus looks like, an attempt to be faithful in response, to live together as Christians, to help each other follow him more and more, to help each other and following in who Jesus has us to be. This is especially important because it's a place where the church is currently struggling. I was listening to a podcast this past week, and they reminded me of the 2022 State of Theology that's put out by Ligonier Ministries. And what this is, it's a survey of about 35 or so questions that's given to Christians and non-Christians. They do it every 2 years. And the purpose of it, to see what is the difference between belief for those inside the church, those who claim to be Christians, and those who don't. And then to track how does this belief change over the years. And whenever this report comes out, I always have the same reaction. And it's, do I really want to be a pastor? Because it is alarming how similar the responses from those who claim to be Christians and those who are outside the church are, even in places where they're clearly contradicting Scripture. Let me give an example of this. One of the prompts is, God can learn and adapt to different circumstances. And then you're given five responses. You could either strongly disagree, you're neutral, agree, or strongly agree. And so you have those five prompts up there. God can learn and adapt to different circumstances. And we might go to Isaiah 46:10, or Malachi 3:6, or James 1:17, or 1 John 3:20, which all speaks to this idea that God does not change to anything at all. And yet, 48% of people who identify as evangelical agreed God can change and adapt to different circumstances. You even look at the results from year over to year, and what we're seeing is a decline in those who attend church and believing things like the Bible is being a historical document, or the exclusive claims of Christianity, which, you know, Jesus himself says that he alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Or the one that really gets me, the prompt is, Jesus was a great teacher, but he was not God, to which 43% of evangelicals agreed. These are discipleship issues. It speaks to the fact that Christians are not helping one another in following Jesus to know what is true, to know what he said, and to hold each other accountable on this. Now, we might ask questions of it. We might critique their process, or we might even wonder, how true is that for our church, though? But it still speaks to this need of Christians helping one another to follow after Jesus, helping one another to grow in making disciples, not just outside the church, but within the church as well. What this speaks to, what this passage speaks to in making disciples, is it speaks to the whole of the Christian life, to go, to baptize, and to teach. We don't need to. These words are perfect, and any words that I come up with are not going to be perfect. But it might be helpful for us to reword what this is speaking of so we can understand what does it look like to make disciples. And the rewording that I came up with is tell, bring, raise. Tell, bring, raise. That's what it looks like to make disciples. Tell the good news of what Jesus has done, bring them into this new community of faith, raise them to follow after Jesus. So we go to wherever where people are, with the people that God has put in our life, telling them the good news of what Jesus has done. And as we go to these people, we then bring them into this new identity, this new community, this new people that God has called to be his. And then as we are growing ourselves as disciples, that can come from reading our Bible together. We raise others to read their Bible as well. We pray and we raise others to pray as well. We serve others and we raise people to find a place to serve as well. That we grow in our understanding of God and we raise others and their understanding more and more of God as well. We tell, we bring, and we raise. Now, oftentimes when we talk about making disciples, there's objections that come up. And one of the common ones is, well, people aren't going to listen to me. But I think this overlooks how influential people are to one another. I mean, think about it this way. So I grew up absolutely despising soccer. I thought all that existed of was people diving, that there was no action, people just passed it back and forth all the time, and just it wasn't exciting to watch. When I first started working in a church, my first boss loved soccer, and he talked about it all the time. And just after a while of hearing how passionate he was, of explaining some of the nuance and details of it, of helping me see how complex of a sport it is, it's gotten to the point that I love soccer. I watch it every Saturday now. It's one of my favorite sports. Or think about how much of social media is looking for influence and impact from other people. How much of it is, does anyone know a good mechanic? Or what do we do when we find a new restaurant that we're excited about and then we pull up it on Yelp and we find out, oh, it only has one star. We're not going to go to that place. We are always making an impact in other people. We are always influencing those around us. I mean, think about it for your life. What is a regular part of your life that happened because of someone's influence on you? What is something that you regularly do or believe or think of because of someone's influence on you? We are always making an impact on one another. And the reason for that is we share what we care about. It's often not programmed. It's not seeking this out. That thing that's added to your life from someone's influence probably didn't happen because that person woke up one day and was like, I'm going to force my friends to care about this. No, it just was them talking about it, them being excited, them being enthusiastic, it being an important part of their life. And that then shapes those who are around their life. We share and we influence one another on the things that we care about it. We just talk about these things naturally. And we do this with new places that we found to eat and movies that we watch or activities that we just picked up. But for some reason, we overall are hesitant to do this with Christianity. We're often sharing the things that are important to our life, but for some reason we're hesitant to include the thing that we say is of most significance to us. And we don't have to do this in a way that's programmatic. We don't have to do this in a way that's canned or forced or anything like that. Just as we talk about the things that we're excited about, we can share as we're talking with other people what it is that God's been doing in our life, what he's been teaching us, how the church has been an impact on us. And that becomes influential in the lives of other people as we're regularly talking about what is Jesus doing in our lives. And sure, some people might still reject it, but we're not bashing people over the head with it. We're just helping people to see how what Jesus has done for us and the joy and love that he brings into our life. Or maybe it is in the regular conversations that we have people, helping connect it to something that's deeper. I mean, how often are we talking with someone and they share their hopes or dissatisfaction or identity or purpose? We can help connect that to see that those things are fulfilled in Jesus. And again, it's sharing good news. It's not sharing anger. It doesn't have to be, well, of course you're struggling. You're a sinner who deserves death. It could just be talking about how this is good news for us. Of saying, you know, I'm the same way. That my identity was wrapped up in my kids. Or my hopes were tied to success. I didn't see any sort of a way out. My marriage was a mess. I thought that unless I got good grades, that I would be worthless, all until I found Jesus. See, we might be overwhelmed by this call for all Christians to make disciples, but so often it's just showing why is this good news for us that can help people see why it's good news for them. Another objection could be, well, I can't answer their objections. I don't know enough. I don't know enough about the Bible. People are asking questions. I get nervous. I'm just not good enough to do this. And to which I would say, I agree. You're not good enough. And I know that because I'm not good enough either. That I don't know all the answers to the questions. I don't always have this motivation. There's plenty of times that I could be making disciples and I just don't say anything. But we need to remember again what the starting point of this passage is. All authority has been given to Jesus. And we make disciples not because of our authority, not because of our gift set, that we don't need to be good enough. We just need to be faithful. Another objection could be, so we're supposed to be with people throughout this process, to continue alongside of them, to help them see the good news is for them, but not just give up once they profess faith, not bail on them after that, but stick with them, helping in this whole discipling process throughout their Christian life. That's a lot to do. That's really hard to do all this. Yep, it is. But let's not overlook the incredible promise that's given in this passage. Jesus says, go make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to obey. And he says, I am with you always. Jesus is with you in all of life, yes, but especially as we are seeking to make disciples. And when it says Jesus is with you, that doesn't mean he's just in proximity of you, like he's kicked back in a lounge chair, ready to check your work to tell you if you're doing good enough or not. No, Jesus is with you. In your midst, alongside of you, helping, guiding, correcting along the way. I mean, think of the image of a parent hovering over their child who's learning to ride the bike for the first time. That's what it means when Jesus is with you. He's helping you have all that you need, helping keep you safe in his arm, guiding and correcting all along the way. Jesus says, go and make disciples. That as followers of him, as we see the gospel, it shapes us and guides us, this good news that changed our life, we bring that life-changing good news to the world. That in response to all of God's love and faithfulness and compassion and mercy, we seek to live in a way that's faithful to him. This gospel, what Jesus has done, is for you. You could cherish this, love it, delight in what Jesus has done for you. And this gospel is for others as well. And so we seek to live in response to what Jesus has done by making disciples wherever it is that God has put us. And we do that by tell, bring, and raise. Or to go back to Jesus' always perfect words, go, baptize, and teach. Let me pray for us. Father, we are so grateful for this church that is a place for us as growing in what it means to be a disciple, that we have people that you have brought alongside of us in this room, whatever age they are, whatever their background is, you have given us this gift, this church, to help us to be faithful. And we want to leave this place, as we do. We spend more of our week outside of this room than inside of it. And that should help us realize that there is a reason for that, that you have put us in a place, whether it's where we live, work, play, or it's going abroad, that you have us in a place surrounded by people with this goal, with this task of making disciples, that we recognize how life-shattering it is that you would pour out your love and mercy and grace on us. And so we want to help other people to see this good news, this gospel of what you have done for us. Let us be bold with confidence, but recognize that everything that we have, all that we are able to do, comes from your strength, your provision, your guidance, your care. That as you call us to this lofty task that is hard, it's challenging, it takes intention, that we can't just stumble upon it. As you call us to this task, we recognize that you are with us. You are guiding us. You are with your people always. So it's to you and you alone that we pray. Amen.
Christ be magnified.
Well, thank you for worshiping with us and alongside of us this Sunday. Next week, we launch our new series going through the book of 1 Corinthians, which will take some time off in December, but that will take us through Easter. So we'll have the scripture journals with us, part of our continuing ongoing celebration of the 135th anniversary of Calvary Bible Church. We will hand these out as a gift to you next week. We're doing a Mark It Up series. We're going to slow down. We're going to look at the words that are there, understanding what did God say and how does that shape our lives today. If there's anything we could be praying for, we would love to pray with and for one another. I'll be up in the front. You can find someone wearing a name tag, which works every week, including this week, as we are called to pray for one another. But as you go out, may you know more and more of God's faithfulness, that he has been overwhelming in his love and mercy and grace. And so we seek to live in response to that, to see how he has called us to live, loving him, loving others, doing good for those around us, helping them to see the truth that is found in Jesus. As we go out, may we have intention, a plan, an awareness of what Jesus might be calling us to do as we seek to live in response to all he has done. So it's to him and him alone we pray. Amen.